She vanished without a trace. No note, no warning, no explanation. Her husband claimed she walked away from their life. But beneath the floorboards of their own home was the truth. This is Tina Satchwell, uncovering a chilling true crime mystery. A body hidden in plain sight. A freezer. A belt. A six-year lie. Why did it take so long to find her? Why didn't investigators search the very place she was last seen? And how did one man's story change? Only after her remains were discovered. This emotionally charged true crime documentary unpacks the chilling details behind Tina's murder, the failed investigation, and the final reckoning in court. Chapter 1, The Disappearance. Yole, County Cork, a quiet seaside town on Ireland's southern coast. Known for its narrow streets, salt-bitten homes, and the kind of slow, predictable rhythm that rarely makes headlines. But on March 20th, 2017, that stillness would fracture, when 45-year-old Tina Satchwell vanished. There were no screams, no signs of forced entry, no broken glass, just silence. Tina lived on Grattan Street, a modest terraced home shared with her husband, Richard Satchwell. The two had moved there from Fermoy years earlier. To the outside world, they seemed ordinary, quiet, unremarkable. But behind closed doors, the relationship was strained. Tina's family had long suspected control, emotional distance, even isolation. Yet when Richard spoke to Gardaí 4 days later, on March 24th, he gave a different story. He claimed Tina had packed a suitcase and left of her own will, that she needed space, that their marriage had hit a rough patch. He said she was alive somewhere. She just didn't want to be found, but there were problems with that version. Tina didn't take her passport, or her phone, or any bank cards. She left her beloved dogs behind, something those who knew her said she would never do. And perhaps most troubling of all, there were no messages, no calls, no digital trace. For a woman described as close to her nieces and siblings, the silence was unnatural and deeply unsettling. Still, Richard stuck to his version. He told Gardaí she left around 10 a.m. after a disagreement, that he'd gone out later to run errands, returned, and found her gone. He said she might have taken a bus, maybe gone to a friend's. He wasn't sure, but what he was sure of was that she wasn't in danger. He was calm, cooperative, even appeared on television, pleading for her return. But those pleas didn't ring true to everyone. In the weeks that followed, Gardaí launched searches, first around Yole, then across surrounding areas. Woodland searches, coastal scans, dives in local waters. All returned empty. No evidence. No body. No sightings. The investigation quickly hit a wall. Tina's family, particularly her aunt and sister, grew more vocal. They didn't believe she left willingly. They pushed for answers. But with no physical evidence, the case stalled. Then, quietly, the Gardaí changed the classification from a missing person to a high-risk case. And behind the scenes, the suspicions began to grow. Why did Richard wait 4 days to report her missing? Why wasn't there a more aggressive search of their home? Why did Tina's belongings, including clothing and jewelry, still appear untouched? And why did Richard move back into the house, living atop the last place Tina was seen? What no one could have imagined then was that the answers weren't buried in some distant forest or discarded along a rural road. They were under the floor, at home, the entire time. Chapter 2, Beneath the Surface. By early 2018, a full year had passed since Tina Satchwell's disappearance. The headlines had faded. The public interest had cooled. But the silence around the case remained deafening. Richard Satchwell maintained his public stance. That Tina had left voluntarily. That she was alive somewhere. That he hoped she would return. He gave interviews to national media. Calm. Measured. Seemingly cooperative. Yet behind the scenes, Gardaí were keeping quiet for a reason. They weren't convinced. Several inconsistencies had begun to surface. Richard claimed Tina took a suitcase when she left, but CCTV footage from nearby shops never showed her. No sightings. No bus station records. No trail. He claimed she left after an argument, but neighbors never heard anything. And her phone remained unused, completely dead from the moment she vanished. When asked why he waited 4 days to report her missing, Richard said he believed she just needed time, that it wasn't unusual. But Tina's family disagreed. She would never have gone this long without checking in, especially not with her sister. Then came a troubling detail. Tina had no known bank transactions after March 20th. Her savings remained untouched. She hadn't accessed social media. There were no known sightings in Ireland or abroad. Statistically, the likelihood of voluntary disappearance without a digital footprint over that span of time was near zero. But the case had one fatal flaw: no body. And without a body, there could be no murder charge, no physical proof, no trace of where she had gone. Gardaí did their best to stay active. In late 2018, they conducted extensive land and woodland searches in East Cork. They scoured surrounding properties, canvassed known associates, even questioned Richard again, but nothing held. In 2019, the media ran another series of appeals. Age-progressed photos, family pleas, theories ranged from mental health crises to possible abduction. Still, no credible leads emerged. Meanwhile, Richard Satchwell continued to live at the same address on Grattan Street, alone, his routine largely unchanged. But to Gardaí, the focus never truly shifted away from him. They just didn't have what they needed. Years passed. In 2022, internal memos within an Garda Síochána indicated renewed frustration with cold cases. Among them, Tina Satchwell stood out. Behind closed doors, a decision was made: the case needed fresh eyes, new tactics, and most importantly, a deeper forensic look at the very place she was last seen. In October 2023, that moment finally arrived. Armed with updated intelligence and new personnel, investigators secured a fresh search warrant for the Grattan Street home. This time, they weren't just checking cupboards or attics. They came with concrete cutters, ground-penetrating equipment, and for the first time, a cadaver dog brought in from the police service of Northern Ireland. The search began quietly, unnoticed by the public, but it would end with national headlines. Beneath a staircase, investigators noticed unusual flooring: a concrete slab slightly raised, with irregular cement work around the edges. The dog's alert came quickly. Sharp, unmistakable. What lay beneath would turn suspicion into certainty. Wrapped in black plastic bags, partially decomposed, skeletal, human remains. The body had been beneath the floor the entire time, 6 years. And for 6 years, Richard Satchwell had lived directly above it. Chapter 3, The Discovery. October 10th, 2023, the turning point. Forensic teams gathered in silence on Grattan Street as the search resumed inside the Satchwell residence. The media had not yet caught wind. To the public, it was just another cold case inquiry. But inside the modest Yole home, a slow and deliberate operation was underway. The cadaver dog was led through the house carefully. The living room, the upstairs bedroom, the yard, nothing. But in the hallway, just beneath the stairs, it stopped, sat down, and signaled. Specialists examined the area. A section of concrete flooring that didn't quite match the rest. Thicker, poorly finished, raised slightly near the back edge of the stairwell. They began to break it open. The sound of drills echoed through the home. Dust filled the air. Then came the smell. Faint at first, then unmistakable, organic decomposition. Under the slab, wrapped in layers of black plastic, lay human skeletal remains. It was Tina. She had never left. The search was halted. The property sealed. The body removed under forensic protocol. News broke the next morning. Headlines across Ireland erupted. Body discovered in Tina Satchwell investigation. Husband arrested following grim find in Yole home. Within hours, Richard Satchwell was located in Passage West, a small town 50 kilometers away. He didn't resist arrest, but his demeanor was calm, eerily calm. In Garda custody, he began to talk. This time, a new story. He claimed there had been an argument, that Tina had come at him with a chisel, that he had acted in self-defense. In a moment of panic, he said, he grabbed her dressing gown belt and wrapped it around her neck. He said he hadn't meant to kill her, only to restrain her. But when she went limp, he panicked. He claimed he placed her body in a freezer, stored it for days. Then, under cover of night, dug a shallow cavity beneath the stairs and entombed her in concrete. It was a tale of impulse and regret. But investigators weren't convinced. The body had been carefully wrapped. The cavity was sealed thoroughly. Forensic experts found no chisel marks, no bruising consistent with a struggle. What they did find were fragments of glass embedded in her scalp, suggesting blunt force trauma to the head prior to death. Her clothes were intact. There were no defensive wounds, no signs of a fight, and perhaps most damning, Richard had told this story only after the discovery. For 6 years, he had insisted she left, that she was alive, that he was innocent. Now, when the truth could no longer be denied, he gave a new version. Gardai officially charged him with the murder of Tina Satchwell on October 11, 2023. The public was stunned. How could a woman be buried in her own home for 6 years, unnoticed? How did every previous search miss her? Why were cadaver dogs never brought in from the beginning? Tina's family was devastated, but they were also vindicated. They had always said something wasn't right. That Tina wouldn't just disappear. That Richard knew more than he let on. Now, finally, the justice system was catching up. The legal process began to move quickly. Autopsy results confirmed strangulation. The belt, the plastic, the freezer, each item was carefully documented. Prosecutors began assembling a timeline. The media flooded Yoel once again, and the home at Grattan Street became the grim epicenter of Ireland's most disturbing true crime mystery in years. But for Tina, there would never be a second chance. She had been buried in silence, wrapped in deception, hidden beneath the very floor that had once held her life. Now, that silence had finally cracked, and the trial was coming. Chapter 4, The Trial Begins. April 29, 2025, nearly 8 years after Tina Satchwell's disappearance, the Central Criminal Court in Dublin opened proceedings in the case of the People versus Richard Satchwell. The courtroom was quiet, tense, every seat filled. Journalists, Tina's family, curious members of the public, all gathered to witness the trial that had haunted the country for nearly a decade. Richard Satchwell entered, dressed in a plain dark suit. His face was unreadable. He pleaded not guilty to the charge of murder. The prosecution wasted no time establishing motive, means, and opportunity. Their argument was clear. Richard Satchwell deliberately killed his wife, concealed her body, misled Gardai, and maintained a false public persona for 6 years. They accused him of psychological control, emotional manipulation, and ultimately premeditated murder. They introduced evidence piece by piece. Clinical. Methodical. First, the discovery. The jury was shown photographs of the concealed grave beneath the stairs. The concrete slab. The black plastic. The skeletal remains. Cadaver dog handler testimony confirmed a strong signal during the 2023 search. Something that should have been pursued in 2017, but never was. Next, the autopsy. Tina had died by strangulation. Glass fragments were found embedded in her scalp, suggesting she had been struck before death. There were no defensive wounds, no evidence of a struggle. Her body was wrapped in plastic with care, then buried beneath the home. Then came the freezer. Prosecutors presented evidence that a large chest freezer had been removed from the house shortly after Tina's disappearance. Witnesses testified that Richard had told neighbors he was getting rid of clutter. That freezer was never found. Also entered into evidence were Tina's clothes, discovered stored away in a suspicious location outside the home, garments she never would have left behind if she had truly run away. Then the interviews. Audio clips from Richard's Gardai interrogations were played for the court. In them, his tone shifted dramatically, from confident denial to confusion to cold admissions. But the contradictions were everywhere. He claimed Tina attacked him with a chisel, that he accidentally strangled her with her dressing gown belt. But forensic pathologists stated her injuries were inconsistent with a spontaneous struggle. They were more aligned with controlled pressure, calm, extended force. In cross-examination, the defense argued emotional distress. They painted Richard as a man overwhelmed by a deteriorating marriage, that he acted in panic, that he feared shame, that burying Tina was not a calculated cover-up, but a man's descent into desperation. But the prosecution pushed back, hard. If it was panic, why wait 4 days to report her missing? Why publicly appeal for her return while knowing she was dead beneath the stairs? Why move the freezer? Why keep the secret for 6 years? They argued that Richard Satchwell never expected to be caught, that his confidence came from knowing exactly where she was. And as long as that floor remained sealed, so did the truth. Tina's family sat in the front row each day, quiet, steadfast, occasionally breaking down as the details emerged. In the media, the trial dominated headlines. The public was transfixed. Radio shows debated the timeline. Newspapers reprinted Tina's final photos. Social media called for accountability, not just for Richard, but for the investigative failures that let him walk free for so long. The courtroom, once cold and procedural, now carried the weight of a woman's silenced life. Her voice now echoed through evidence, through timelines, through testimonies. As the prosecution rested its case, the jury was left with one chilling question. Was this a tragic accident, or the careful, callous murder of a woman whose only mistake was trusting the man she lived with? Chapter 5, Lies on the Stand. As the trial continued into its second week, all eyes turned to the defendant. Richard Satchwell was called to the stand, a high-stakes decision by the defense that would ultimately determine how the jury perceived his guilt. He sat upright, composed, answering each question with an air of rehearsed calm. But beneath the surface, his words began to fracture. He repeated his core narrative. Tina had come at him with a chisel. They had argued. She snapped. He panicked. He claimed it was self-defense. But the prosecution pressed hard. They asked, why was there no evidence of a chisel in the crime scene? Why didn't he report the so-called accident immediately? Why did he clean the area, hide her body, and live above her grave for 6 years? Richard hesitated, then doubled down. He claimed he had stored Tina's body in a freezer because he didn't know what else to do, that he feared arrest, that he acted out of fear, not calculation. But prosecutors revealed that Richard had continued a quiet, methodical life after Tina's disappearance. He kept the house in order, spoke to media, paid bills. He even went on holiday at one point, while her remains decomposed beneath their floor. To the jury, this didn't sound like fear. It sounded like control. Then came the character witnesses. Neighbors described Tina as kind but quiet, someone who had withdrawn in the final years of her life. Friends testified that she had expressed feeling trapped in the marriage. Her sister recounted Tina once saying she wasn't happy but couldn't leave. An ex-colleague shared that Tina had stopped responding to messages shortly before she vanished. It was as if she had been intentionally isolated. The emotional tone in the courtroom shifted. It was no longer just about forensic timelines. It was about patterns. Silence. Control. A woman who had slowly disappeared long before her physical body did. And then came the moment that left the room stunned. Under cross-examination, the lead prosecutor asked Richard if he had ever loved Tina. A pause followed, long, cold, uncomfortable. He answered, yes, at the start. It wasn't what he said. It was how he said it. Detached. Flat. As if he were discussing a broken appliance, not the woman he had buried under his own floor. The prosecution closed with a brutal summary. They argued that Richard Satchwell never lost control. He exercised it every step of the way. From the murder, to the concealment, to the lies that followed. That this wasn't panic, it was preservation. He didn't call for help. He called for silence. The courtroom fell still as the jury prepared to deliberate. Outside, crowds gathered. Reporters filed live updates. Candlelight vigils were held for Tina in Yole and Fermoy. The public no longer debated if Richard was guilty, only whether the jury would confirm what so many already believed. Inside the jury room, 12 strangers carried the weight of 8 years, of a missing woman, of a buried truth, of a nation asking how it was missed for so long. Chapter 6, The Verdict. May 30, 2025, the day justice finally spoke. After nearly a month of arguments, testimony, and forensic evidence, the jury in the trial of Richard Satchwell returned to the courtroom. Tension hung thick in the air. Tina's family sat together in the front row, holding hands, bracing for a verdict 8 years in the making. The foreperson stood, quiet, measured, guilty. Richard Satchwell was convicted of the murder of his wife, Tina Satchwell. The courtroom remained silent for a moment. Then the sound of quiet sobbing. Tina's sister collapsed into tears. Journalists scribbled furiously. The judge called for order. Richard sat expressionless. Not defiant. Not emotional. Just still. It was the end of a long deception. The prosecution had succeeded in building a case from fragments. Plastic, glass, cement, silence. They had shown the jury not just what Richard did, but how he did it, and how long he kept the truth buried. The following week, on June 4, 2025, Richard was sentenced to life in prison. The judge's words were blunt. He condemned the deliberate and callous concealment of Tina's body. The lies. The manipulation. The years of stolen hope. He noted that Richard Satchwell had lived a double life for over 6 years. One as a grieving husband, the other as a man guarding a horrifying secret buried beneath his floor. Tina Satchwell's name would never be a missing persons headline again. She would never be a cold case. She had become a symbol, not of tragedy alone, but of how the system can fail, and how it can eventually get it right. But questions remained. How had Gardai failed to discover her remains earlier? Why weren't cadaver dogs brought in during the original searches? Why had the one place where she was last seen, their own home, been overlooked with such fatal finality? These were not just questions of police work. They were questions of justice itself. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris launched a formal internal review into the investigation's failures. Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan publicly addressed the case, acknowledging a national shortfall in search procedures and the limited access to cadaver dog teams. New recommendations were drafted, protocols revised, but for many, it felt too late. Tina's body had been found not through advanced technology, but by doing what should have been done in 2017, searching her home properly. Public outrage swelled, not just at Richard, but at the gaps in the system that allowed him to live freely for 6 years while her family suffered in uncertainty. And yet, amidst the anger, there was finally resolution. Tina Satchwell was laid to rest in her hometown of Fermoy in June 2025. Hundreds attended. Strangers. Journalists. Family. Her name no longer accompanied by question marks or appeals, but by flowers, candles, and hard-won truth. Her grave became a symbol of what was lost, and what must never be forgotten. Because justice is not only about punishment, it is about truth, about voice, and about the refusal to let silence become the final chapter. Chapter 7, System Failure. Tina Satchwell's case did more than expose a murderer. It exposed a system unprepared to find her. In the aftermath of Richard Satchwell's conviction, attention shifted to the institutions meant to protect victims like Tina. The question was no longer just about why she died, but why no one found her sooner. The truth was damning. In 2017, when Tina was first reported missing, investigators focused on the idea that she had left voluntarily. Richard Satchwell pushed that narrative early, and authorities accepted it. No signs of forced entry. No obvious blood. No struggle. It became the foundation of the investigation, and its fatal flaw. Despite growing concerns from her family, the initial house search was limited. Surface level. Cadaver dogs were not deployed. Forensics were minimal. The structure of the home was never disturbed. That decision, whether born from assumption, under-resourcing, or human error, allowed Richard to maintain his lie, and Tina's body to remain buried just feet from where the investigation began. Years later, during the internal review ordered by Garda Commissioner Drew Harris, it was confirmed cadaver dogs had never been used in the 2017 search of the Grattan Street home. No structural imaging. No excavation. No attempt to validate or challenge Richard's account beyond superficial checks. The PSNI dog that eventually signaled in 2023 was brought in through cross-agency cooperation. Its handler noted that the scent was still detectable despite 6 years of decomposition, raising painful questions about what could have been found earlier. Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan addressed the matter publicly. He stated, "What happened to Tina Satchwell should never have gone undiscovered for so long. We must learn from this, so no other family waits in agony while the truth lies just beneath their feet." A task force was launched, training programs enhanced, new mandates issued, requiring full home excavation in certain missing persons cases, particularly those involving domestic partners. But the damage had already been done. Tina's family spent 6 years living with false hope, 6 years searching for someone who was never missing. She was concealed, forgotten by a system that never looked deep enough. And Richard? He gave interviews, made television appearances, maintained innocence. He walked free, laughed, slept in the same home, all while the woman he killed lay beneath his floor, encased in concrete. The psychological weight of that deception became a national wound. Irish media dissected the case for months. Experts debated investigative procedures. Advocates for domestic violence victims pointed out the red flags. Control, isolation, gaslighting, all ignored or unseen, Tina Satchwell became more than a victim. She became a mirror, one that reflected not just the face of a killer, but the outline of a system that let him hide. She was buried twice, once by the man who murdered her, and once by the failure to search the truth beneath his lies. Chapter 8, A Name Remembered. June 2025. 8 years after she vanished, Tina Satchwell was finally laid to rest. In her hometown of Fermoy, County Cork, mourners gathered in solemn silence. Family. Friends. strangers who had followed her story from the beginning. They stood not just to grieve, but to reclaim her name from the silence it had endured. No longer a cold case. No longer a headline. No longer a question mark. A white coffin. A quiet ceremony. A single photograph framed beside the altar. Tina smiling. Vibrant. Unaware of what fate would come behind closed doors. As her body was lowered into the ground, Ireland collectively exhaled. A truth hidden beneath concrete had finally risen to the surface. But the legacy of Tina Satchwell's case does not end with a conviction or a gravesite. It lives in every new Garda policy about domestic abuse cases, in every expanded search warrant that includes the use of cadaver dogs, in every victim advocate demanding better systems, earlier intervention, and deeper scrutiny of those closest to the missing. It lives in the haunting understanding that murder can wear the mask of patience, charm, and sorrow. Richard Satchwell showed the world how far a lie can stretch when supported by silence. He lived above the truth, walked over it daily, slept beside it, held press conferences while her body decomposed meters away. That kind of deception forces us to ask, how many others are hiding in plain sight? In Yoel, Grattan Street has changed. The house was sealed off, its reputation stained forever. Locals pass quickly, avoiding the address. But for those who remember, it is not a house. It is a tomb that wore the disguise of a home. Tina's family now speaks her name without fear of dismissal. No more waiting. No more begging to be believed. Her story, though dark, painful, and slow to surface, has finally been told in full. And the justice system, once complicit in its inaction, was forced to listen. At the close of the trial, one journalist wrote, "For 6 years, Tina Satchwell had no voice. But in death, she made the entire country listen." This documentary ends with that voice restored. Not just as a case file. Not as a statistic. But as a woman who loved, who trusted, and who deserved far more from the man she lived with, and from the country that took too long to find her. Tina Satchwell. Remember her name. Not for how she died, but for what her death exposed.